50,000 federal workers back on the job.
But they're still not getting paid.
Sears Rescue clears hurdle.
A Hail Mary pass with $5.2 billion.
Terror attack in a Nairobi hotel.
14 innocent lives were lost.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. The partial government shutdown's having a deep economic impact, and thousands of furloughed federal workers are being called back to the job in key posts, working without pay as the stalemate drags on. We're live with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
Well, the order to return to work was sent to some 50,000 federal employees, mainly at the IRS. Tax filing season begins at the end of the month, and the administration has vowed that refund checks will go out on time. Those workers, some 60% of the Internal Revenue workforce, are needed to keep that promise. Others being called back without pay include engineers and safety inspectors at the FAA, food inspectors at the FDA, but they represent just a fraction of the federal workers affected by America's longest-running agency funding lapse. Yesterday, the commandant of the Coast Guard noted to his men and women who fall under the auspices of Homeland Security that it's the first time that service members in a branch of the U.S. Armed Forces have gone without pay. Steve?
Well, the government estimates the shutdown's having twice the economic impact than first thought. Kevin Hassett chairs the Council of Economic Advisors.
There are people who are having trouble making their rent payments, who aren't able to go out and go to a restaurant or something, and those are permanent hits to consumption.
CBS's Carter Evans is in Ogden, Utah, where federal workers are concerned and some local businesses are hurting.
Sandwiched between federal buildings, normally bustling businesses like Anna Davidson's restaurant are now practically empty.
Every week that it goes on longer, it gets slower and disheartening.
Business is down by half, forcing her to dig into savings to pay her employees. Furloughed IRS employee Emily Roush has gone from dining downtown to delivering meals for DoorDash.
That's not going to pay all the bills, but at least it's going to buy us groceries and put gas in our vehicles.
With so many not getting a paycheck at all, Ogden Mayor Mike Caldwell says the local economy is struggling.
People that would typically come down here and go to movies and take their families out, they're finding ways they can really cut their expenses.
Well, perhaps not poised for a shutdown after all is Sears. Early this morning, the retailer's chairman succeeded in bankruptcy court with his revamped $5.2 billion takeover bid, a lifeline for 45,000 workers at the chain's remaining 425 stores. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Right now, it looks like the company will emerge from bankruptcy. It'll have less debt, but it still faces very steep hurdles in trying to repay all the money it owes and operate in a competitive landscape dominated by the likes of Amazon and Walmart.
Creditors are still expected to raise objections before a bankruptcy judge signs off on it. President Trump's pick for attorney general says he won't be bullied by anyone, including the president. CBS's Nancy Cordes is covering William Barr's Senate confirmation hearing, which has focused on his views on the Russia investigation.
He said he was committed to transparency, but he would not commit to releasing Mueller's findings in full at the end of the investigation. He said that he and Mueller are longtime friends, that he doesn't believe that Mueller is on a witch hunt, as the president so often claims. Barr wouldn't commit to recusing himself from the investigation. He said that is up to him, not DOJ ethics officials, but still the chair of this committee does expect him to be confirmed.
The House has voted 424-1 to condemn Iowa Republican Steve King's comments about white supremacy. King himself voted for the measure put up by South Carolina's James Clyburn.
This body must speak out against this evil. The time has come to condemn those of ill will.
The only no vote was from Illinois Democrat Bobby Rush, who says he wants stronger action against King. New York Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand made news on last night's CBS Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
I'm filing an exploratory committee for President of the United States tonight.
And she says health care, gender issues, and stopping institutional racism will be at the forefront of her presidential campaign. One American was among the 14 people killed in an al-Shabaab attack on a hotel complex in Nairobi, Kenya. CBS's Deborah Pata is at the scene.
The attack began yesterday afternoon when militants stormed the Dusit Hotel and office complex armed with bombs and guns. Scores of people were still being escorted to safety in the early hours of the morning. Authorities now say all the attackers have been killed. The Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab group has claimed responsibility for the attack, the worst since they struck at the heart of the capital in 2013 at the Westgate Mall, which killed at least 67 people.
Britain's prime minister faces a second no-confidence vote in as many months. CBS's Vicky Barker joins us live from London.
Theresa May expected to survive the opposition Labour Party's no-confidence motion, just as she survived her own Conservative Party's attempt to unseat her last month. But today's no-confidence debate will eat up another day on the Brexit clock.
I don't think Parliament is covering themselves in a lot of glory at the moment. We have to get a negotiated exit with the European Union, and we didn't succeed in doing that last night.
That's Conservative lawmaker Rory Stewart speaking the morning after this. The sound of May's Brexit deal suffering the worst defeat in modern British history. May says she'll present her plan B next week, but the fact is there is no parliamentary majority for any of the Brexit scenarios, and Brexit Day is 10 weeks away. Steve?
More stormy weather is bearing down on California. The threat of mudslides in areas scorched by wildfires has forced thousands to leave their homes. Phil Heaviside lives in Oak Park, which is northwest of L.A.
The sheriff's department came through and, you know, knocked on the doors, and if you didn't leave, they were taking down your name and a contact phone number.
Forecasters say a polar vortex will make life miserable with deep cold or snow for much of the northern half of the country for most of the next few weeks. McDonald's has lost its right to trademark Big Mac in Europe. A court ruled in favor of the Irish burger chain Supermax. It means other companies in Europe can use the Big Mac name if they want to. McDonald's can appeal that decision. There's still no Oscar host, but the Grammys are all set.
Alicia Keys has another job besides singer.
What would you say if I told you that you have a chance to host the whole thing?
What?
CBS announced she'll host next month's Grammy Awards, and she posted a video to her YouTube channel when being offered the gig.
You are going to be the host of the 2019 Grammy Awards.
She's won 15 Grammys in her career. Moment. Grammys are Sunday, February 10th on CBS. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Cybersecurity experts say a login flaw on the popular game Fortnite put millions of players at risk. Among other things, hackers had a path to listen in on conversations of players, many of them kids. Epic Games says it fixed the problem. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.